Two Bible readings this morning, one from Joshua 23. It's the words Joshua speaks from his deathbed, really. Joshua had quite a life, quite a few powerful moments, and at the end of his life, he speaks these words. "Now I am about to go the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one thing has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God has promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you, not one of them has failed. Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away that the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And also a reading from Matthew 13. "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, 'Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the bird came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." And then later the disciples asked Jesus to explain it. And he says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Generally, with children, we tend to put them in a box and say, this is this particular type of child, and we know exactly how they're going to turn out. And the catch is, there's no child that doesn't surprise their parents at several moments. The most obedient child will still have those moments where the parents are wondering what on earth got into them. And the most disobedient, crooked, rotten child we'll still have those moments of tender affection and love. And the catch is, we can't just look at a child as they're growing and figure out how they're going to grow up. Within our confirmation teaching, had all sorts of kids come through during the years. Some of you are part of that. Alumni, I guess. My first confirmation class, I actually called the police on several of them. About almost grabbed one by the shirt. I mean, really, I was so happy on confirmation to see some of those kids confirmed. Right, Miss Bucky knows. She had to teach them a couple times too. So happy on confirmation Sunday to do the confirmation service, because I knew I would never see him again. And yet, by golly, some of them kids are in church every Sunday now. even turning up at those Wednesday services that you don't go to, right? And you just never know. And there were other kids that I knew would be saints. I knew the Catholic Church would get those cool little cards with the bright colors, and people would hang them off their rearview mirror, and it would be this girl from our church, and I knew she would become like this saint of the church, and everybody would be so proud of her. And now she doesn't have anything to do with the church. And you feel bad about it, and you try to figure out why, right? At church, we do some educational programming, offering stuff. It's relatively new in the course of the church. The church is 2,000 years old, and generally, Sunday school was only for orphans. The idea was the normal practice would be that at home, parents would teach their children the faith. And churches had a Sunday school program for orphans, because, of course, they would be the only ones who would not be taught the faith at home. Of course, you fast forward to today, and that's really quite different. Most of the time, our Sunday school program and children's sermons or confirmation are pretty much the exclusive content for kids. But just think for a little bit about what the difference is. If your house was a church where at home you read the Bible a little bit, you prayed, you cried sometime too, maybe sing a worship song, and then you gather as this gathering of little bitty churches, little bitty family churches that get together on a Sunday morning, then when the pastor gets up and prattles on about the Bible, and when the church prays and sings together, it's a completely different experience than if your only kind of faith, content, growth, knowledge, time is 1 hour a week. And church is in many ways similar to a lot of other activities people and children are in, where you get out of it what you put into it, right? If you're playing football and you never show up to practice, but you just want to show up to the games, chances are you're going to end up on the turf most of the time. Or if you're a student and you decide you're not going to do any reading or homework, but you're just going to show up and take a test, chances are that's not going to work out too well for you. But the difference between the church and schooling or sports or other activities is what happens in this place has eternal significance, right? Some of you were big sports people when you were younger, about 100 pounds ago or something. And, now you're just not there anymore, right? I remember I tried to play basketball one day, and I had in my mind what I could do in high school and college, and I went in and tried to do that, and I think I got about half an inch off the floor, and I felt pretty embarrassed, right? Because you're just at a different place than you were, or even schooling. A lot of you took some tests when you were seniors in high school, and you passed, and you knew all these, you knew the capital of Delaware, and you knew really hard to figure out stuff, like what color Paul Revere's white horse was, and that sort of stuff. But now today, it's just gone, right? And that's just the way it is. But what happens at church, God moves here, and God makes a difference in people's lives that in many cases has eternal significance, right? And it's important. That's why I give my life to doing what I do here. Because as a parent or as a family member of a child, grandparent, the faith is important. Because if you raise a child and he ends up being the star quarterback or the head cheer, or she's the head cheerleader, or they're the valedictorian, and they have a couple years of glory, but then they spend an eternity in hell, chances are you're going to think you're a pretty bad parent, or that the church could have done more, or that you as a grandparent could have kind of used your position to share the mercy and the goodness and the grace and love of God. And Jesus tells a parable to kind of make all of this pretty clear for us. I have props today. Ryan's miserably sick, so I have to take his prop role. So Jesus talks about Jesus talks about a sower throwing seeds, and that each seed in his parable has a different outcome. The first seed he throws, and it looks like it's going to be okay, except a bird comes, all right? Somebody want to make a bird sound? No? You're bashful this morning? Last Sunday, you guys were baaing like crazy. A bird comes and just runs off with the seed. Is that seed going to make it? No, right? Why? Because it's off in some bird's belly somewhere. It has nowhere to grow. And then Jesus explains this one, saying it's Satan just comes and scoops this one off and runs off with it. And it's not the seed's fault. The seed really had no chance. Just gone, right? But then he goes on that there's another one that is planted. Okay, after the bird, there's another one, which is rocky ground, okay? So a plant in some dirt in a pot with some holes in the bottom, which apparently is important. And, you know, it has a good shot at growing. However, if we were to plant the lily on this tile, how's it going to grow? If I just left it like this, even balanced it, right? It's not going to make it. Why? Because it's the dirt and the water and all that that helps plants grow, right? So a plant is not going to grow on this no matter what. So the problem is the environment. The problem is the surroundings. And we see that in a lot of other places in life, right? I've heard it said that a child is the average of their friends, which for some of you is encouraging and for some of you is terrifying. But you know, a lot of people are just, it kind of depends what group you're in and how you turn out. And when the seed of the kingdom is planted, there's people here on Sunday morning who have this moment where there's a song or a scripture reading or wherever, where they finally feel that they really get what's important in life and how they feel God is calling them to live. But then their environment, whether it's at school or work or their friends, and they go back to them, and there's not a chance they're going to grow. Right? We have this with addiction, right? Where if somebody's a drug or alcohol addict, one of the first questions they'll get asked in their recovery process is, what state are you going to move to? Or which new community are you moving to? And how are you going to find new friends in that community? Because if you want to start a new life, you really can't use the exact same environment. That's not going to help you grow. And so people have to find a different place to grow. The custodians are going to not be happy with me. But then there's another plant, right? So there's this one. And it's one that falls in good soil. There's good soil. And no bird comes and swoops it away. And there's no rocks that it has to try to grow in. And it's in good soil. But then a thorn comes through and chokes it and kills it. And this is a problem. We have it going on in our front yard right now. We planted some shrubs, and there's the mulch, right? And the black plasticky, you know, under mulch or whatever it is. The bulletproof vest underneath the mulch is there, and so they look fine. However, one really, really smart weed isn't trying to get through the black bulletproof vest or the mulch. It's coming like right up inside the roots of the plant, right? And so I'll go out there and pull out that weed, or the girls will, and then 2 days later, it keeps coming back. Why? Because we can't get to the roots, because they're coming from within the plant. And Jesus is talking about this thorn, and it's a thorn that's not from the environment. The problem isn't the soil. The problem is within. And the problem is the cares of this world squelching the seed of the kingdom, and the concerns about wealth squelching the seeds of the kingdom. So the plant's coming up and everything's going well, and we're going to say, wow, what a beautiful lily. But then, you know, you just get a bunch of phone calls, and there's a lot that distracts you from where you're at and being able to grow. And then, you know, your car gets old, so you need a new car. And then that car needs oil changes and registration and stuff. And then you fall in love with a good-looking guy in a leather jacket and kind of Fonzie sort of thing, but it's kind of a distraction too. And then you get a house, and you got stuff to fix at the house all the time, right? So there's a lot of distractions because you have different things to fix. And then you have babies, and babies are a huge amount of energy, and they get sick all the time, and they're hungry and crying, and all of that. And then you say, hey, we're going to move out in the country. That'll be great. That'll be the easy life. But then you have tractors and farming and ranching and all of that. And then you kind of stop and look at that plant, right? Where the thorns are the concerns of this. Oh, and wealth, right. And you have all these concerns that when they're all piled on, just kill whatever seeds God is trying to grow. And what do you think the shots are of this plant, right? It's not going to make it. And it's not that the plant in itself wasn't good and hopeful and joyful early on. It's just life happened and priority shifted and God got put on the back burner. The encouragement we get from Joshua, who had this huge life of God doing all these amazing things in his life. At the end of his life, he says, I look back at my life and all the good things God said he was going to do, all the blessings God was going to pour in my life, has he reneged on any of them? No. And every day, we have to choose who we're going to serve. Whether it's the gods of this world, gods of romance and cars and dream homes and perfect kids and money, we have to choose if we're going to serve them or if we're going to choose the Lord. And Joshua's words to his grave, whereas for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Please rise and let us pray. Dear God, we give you thanks for all your work and your action to show us your mercy and your love and your care, for sending your Son to give us salvation and forgiveness and new life at the cross. We pray you help us not forget all that you do, that you guide us and lead us away from situations that would not help us grow, and that you shield us and send your Holy Spirit to give us strength to overcome the concerns of this world and always grow in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.